2026.
AlexJonesLive.com. Tomorrow's news today.
Yes, we are. Well, as we predicted, this multi-war system is now turned into a new world war and is threatening total nuclear war. Russia just officially named targets in the UK.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
To scare you, but to raise the alarm so that humanity wakes up and we can stop this disaster. The Russian government has, in the last few months, said they're going to hit Poland, the UK, Germany, France, and other countries that are supplying heavy weapons that are bombarding Russian cities with thousands of salvos of cruise missiles and bombs and drones a week. And now the government has officially put out a list of first targets, and so we may hit them with conventional weapons or nuclear weapons. And they put out the rules of engagement saying, we're getting ready to match you hitting us, now that the UK Prime Minister admits, yeah, we're supplying the weapons that are bombing Russia. I mean, that's been known, but he wanted it on record. And so under the rules of war, Russia said, okay, we're going to start hitting your targets. We're going to name the targets, and we're going to show with our ballistic missiles you can't stop us. And then if you want to go to full nuclear war, let's go. In fact, we might just go ahead and hit you with nukes first. And I'll assure you, if Russia was doing this to the U.S., we'd already nuked them. Under the rules of war, this is so insane that there's not even really words to describe it. That's why Tucker Carlson came out with even stronger than I did 4 months ago, when Trump said, we'll destroy all of Iran in one night, a big glowing orange crater. Their civilization will never return. The end of their culture forever. That's a nuclear threat. He said, tune into Mark Levin tonight. That's what I think. He'll say what I believe. Mark Levin says, do it like Harry Truman. Hit them with A-bombs. Invade them. Ground forces. Let's go. Which is totally insane. The Pentagon's told Trump is unwinnable. And it'll turn the whole world against us, even if we were to drop 100 hydrogen bombs on them. Because it's a Pyrrhic victory. The whole world will turn against us. The economic fallout alone, not to mention the radioactive fallout, is insane. Pakistan says they'll instantly nuke the U.S. and Israel if that happens. And sure, we'll nuke them, and it's off the races. Mutually assured destruction. I said, if Trump continues to talk like that, he needs to be 25th Amendmented or impeached. They invoked the war powers. Congress could cut the money off. They've had three votes. They've come within three votes of, in the last vote of, in the Senate, stopping the funding, but they didn't. But Tucker says there's no more time to wait. Remove him regardless. Because now they're back to the nuclear talk. Pentagon confirmed that Trump has asked them to draw up plans for nuclear war with Iran. And now Russia, who has thousands, again, of drones, missiles, and glide bombs hitting it, including Moscow every week, they shoot down a lot of it, but still hundreds get through. Russia is saying, we are going to match you in your attacks. Definitely conventional, striking European targets, weapons depots. But we might just go to straight nuke, because NATO said, if you hit us with conventional, we'll just nuke you. So Russia says, fine, we'll get the first punch off. We won't just match your escalation. We'll go past it. And that's what all the war games show is the greatest danger. So we've never been in more danger. Every American that had half a brain in the early 1960s during the Cuban Missile Crisis was aware of how dangerous it was. This is far more dangerous. Russia has now named targets in Britain. RAF bases, missile manufacturing bases, critical infrastructure, and more. It's all coming up. Remember, you're the Paul Revere's. We've got to raise the alarm. Share the live feeds at Raw Alex Jones on X at rumble.com/ Alex Jones Show Live, and promote our news site that has the feeds on it, Alex Jones.
The actress.
kerosene generators have been destroyed. Bring in the water filters.
Releasing the water filters.
This is a good start. But we're going to need 1,000 more of these bad boys.
Thank you, Alex. Let the oceans be cleansed of this monstrous chemical.
They wanted to download my brain, but I downloaded theirs. They've reversed all their demonic globalist plan. Team Humanity!
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
All right, we have really important domestic news, economic news. We have a lot of cultural news, the Democrat Socialists of America, a lot of election fraud news, big court rulings, big Epstein developments, huge Bill Gates caught red-handed, working in gain-of-function, virus creation. Normally, we'd have a very heavy, serious, powerful broadcast, and we'll get to that in the second hour. But up front and center is the escalation on the threat escalation ladder that the Pentagon has, and all the other major military think tanks have similar escalation formulas, and they all have been reporting that we're the closest to full nuclear war we've ever been. We're not 2 minutes to midnight. We're like 30 seconds from it. And Trump has floated nuking Iran. Pakistan's now created a nuclear umbrella and done an alliance with Turkey, Saudi Arabia, and others. They have a bunch of nukes. This is spiraling out of control. And now NATO supplying heavier and heavier high-tech missiles with 1,000-pound warheads, cruise missiles, you name it, that are obliterating Russian food warehouses, that are destroying high-rise apartment buildings, that are hitting government buildings, that are hitting military bases, that are destroying oil refineries. And Russia knows it's not a secret that it is NATO countries supplying the lion's share of the weapons. Now, it was the U.S. supplying a lot of these until the weapons got pulled away for Iran, but Trump has also, to a great extent, put the brakes on that to de-escalate, which is a good thing. But Europe has intensified their aid in the Storm Shadow British missiles and others, and so on the threat escalation ladder, NATO is bombing inside Russia, thousands of attacks a week. And Russia is saying, we're about to hit NATO targets to match you with conventional weapons. And now they've officially, as I told you months ago, because they'd already signaled this, going to hit the UK first. And Lavrov came out on Friday and explained how the British engineered World War I against them, World War II, all of it. Yeah, the Russians blame British intelligence for Hitler, because if you actually study the real history, that's PhD level history, but it's not even debated. Hitler didn't work for the British, but he was set up and manipulated and protected, and had a secret treaty with them. That's why the Deputy Fuhrer flew to England and parachuted into the palace with the treaty, and they locked him up till he died in the 80s in the Tower of London, saying, hey, we were supposed to have a deal when we attacked France. You were supposed to join us. But, of course, Neville Chamberlain told them that, and then he backed out. They brought in Winston Churchill, and you've seen the rest of history. So really, truly sickening. And so the Russians rightfully blame the British Empire for World War I and World War II, and it is Britain that's running the Northern Group that is the dominant subgroup in NATO that is expanding the war and ignoring Trump trying to pump the brakes. Ratcliffe ran over there early last week at a secret meeting. It's now come out trying to get Russia back to the table and trying to get them not to counterstrike the UK and saying, give us time to shut this down. Russia reportedly said, go fly a kite. So now Russia has put out officially through their Ministry of Defense, overhead shot, please. We can show you HD of this. Russia has now named targets in Britain. the different RAF bases, different missile manufacturing bases that they're going to hit. They say it may be conventional or it may be nuclear, but if you retaliate, we'll go to full nuclear war. Russia is now publicly preparing for a new front in northern Ukraine. Initial reports, and Russia's already says they're mobilizing, but particularly claim Moscow is preparing 500,000, 600,000 troops for potential offensive from the oblast in northern Ukraine. Goes on from there. Russia hits Kiev ammo dump next to homes. Ukraine admits 90% of retail food logistics wrecked after they began to bomb the Russian food. So Russia, again, waits till we escalate. And this is us doing it behind it, the West. And then they match it. That's the rules of war. So we'll be getting into all of that incredible footage of hundreds of warehouses blown to kingdom come. Excellent analysis and breakdowns. We're going to be getting to from some of the best analysts out there and more. But this thing is going to the next level. And on the next level is tactical nuclear weapons and Russia striking outside of Ukraine. And then you're just a short step away to full nuclear war. Could happen in minutes, could happen in hours, could happen in weeks if we go to that level. But Russia is signaling, okay, you've escalated. We're going to match it. And if we see any signs that you're going to try to hit us back, if we see a bunch of missiles coming in that could be nuclear tipped, and we see them tracking, as Putin said last week, towards our missile bases and missile fields, we're going to give full commitment to full thermal nuclear attack. So this is unprecedented. And Tucker Carlson is now officially on a Friday broadcast, we're going to air some of, calling for President Trump's immediate removal, whether it's the 25th Amendment, whether it's impeachment. The smartest thing is just to have Congress. It's had three different votes that have all failed. The first vote failed by, 15 votes, the next by 10. The last vote, 3. About a month ago, they voted with the war powers in the Senate, and it was 3 votes short of saying, nope, you got to declare war, you got to stop the war, you got to come back, present your war, and then you've got to get an authorization of war. That's really the best move here. And you got to remember that the Democrats and Biden were well on their way escalating to where we are. Now, we probably would be further into this if Kamala Harris was in. And I'm not defending Trump, but he has legitimately been more sensible about this Ukraine war than the Democrats. And Obama, who originally 16 years ago started it, and that's even been declassified, Victoria Nuland, who was running it with John McCain and Lindsey Graham, has testified to Congress of that. We even have her phone calls that the Russians taped and leaked, and she doesn't deny they're real, where they were saying we're going to push Russia into full war. And that recording is like 14 years old. So, and I have that recording today if you'd like to hear it. So she's like, F the world, F everybody, let's go. She starts saying, F them, F them, F them. And this woman couldn't find her ass with both hands. Bunch of crazy, bloodthirsty, evil people that don't even do the killing themselves. That's the type of folks will get you killed. All the real warriors out there that actually kill people with their bare hands are totally against this. Former Delta Force commanders, you know, leaders of the major SEAL teams, you name it. I mean, I'm not going to get into details here, but you see a lot of them on record publicly that are out. I talked to a lot that are in, including at the highest levels, and it is basically unanimous by special warfare class and by the officer corps that this Russia thing is out of control, and so is Iran. Now, a lot of the enlisted just follow orders as they're trained to do, and they're great people, and they don't really know what's going on, most of them, like the public. A lot of them are concerned. But quite frankly, Iran is on the back burner now, and Trump has been de-escalating that so far, despite Israel's anger. We got some major updates on that. But I wanted to play for you 2 short clips from the larger 20-minute monologue that Tucker did. I mean, I could say all this myself, but I think he says it maybe even more eloquently than I do, and I can tell you it's all 100% dead on what he's saying. I can take every claim he makes, every sentence he says, and spend an hour showing you documents, statements, admissions. This is the facts, okay? We would never put up with Russian troops and nuclear missiles and weapons in northern Mexico on our border and in southern Canada on our border, much less thousands of cruise missiles and bombs and drones hitting our main cities, including our capital. People can say, oh, well, the Russians hit Ukraine first 4 years ago. No, Obama went in with Soros. They overthrew the Ukrainian government. They then started shelling major cities that are 99% Russian. You know, Ukraine's where Russia was born. It is Russian. It's a Russian civil war, basically between their baby and mama. I mean, that's where Russia started 1,000 years ago in the 10th century. The word, it's just incredible. But it's just absolutely amazing that we're at this point here, and you look at how the Huns and the Mongols tried to take over Russia, and you had the Muslims tried it over 100 times, and then you had Napoleon Bonaparte and Adolf Hitler and everybody else, and they all failed. And now you've got a nuclear Russia with hypersonic missiles. It is beyond insane. And now they've said, not only are we looking to hit the UK first because they run this, they've listed the military targets, the RAF bases that have the nukes, and the main missile bases where they're producing the missile factories. So this is a huge, huge deal. Let's put that graphic back up on screen for folks. Then we'll go into Ukraine in the last 2 weeks, started hitting the equivalent of Russia's Amazon warehouses and their food warehouses, causing major damage after taking out a lot of their oil refineries and then hitting other civilian targets. So the Russians warned them. They said, you keep doing that, we're going to hit your food supply. And now the Ukrainian government came out last night and said 90% of food warehouses are destroyed. I have hundreds. I mean, literally, I sent the crew like 10 of them, but I saw hundreds. Hundreds of videos of just every store shelf, 99% empty. I mean, it is unbelievable. So we're going to be getting to all of that today as well. And you know, how long can Ukraine hold on? Well, NATO wants to have a provocation so they can invoke the special article and go to full war with Russia. They've tried to set up conscription, brought back the draft. If that's failing, they've set the draft back up in the UK, Germany, you name it. I mean, this is sheer end of the world type, flirting with Armageddon type behavior. So let's first just go to some snippets here. Tucker Carlson on Friday, the former Fox News host, declared that President Trump should be removed from office immediately, and speculation the administration may be considering the use of nuclear weapons. And then he makes another really good point that Ratcliffe, the head of the CIA, ordered Russia to not be bombed while he was there for 2 days, and it stopped. Hundreds and hundreds of attacks a day, it stopped. And then as soon as his plane took off and he left, an even biggest attack yet happened. So that shows who runs this war. And we already know that the satellites and systems we have guide even the Russian, even the British, French, and German missiles. So the United States is guiding all of this and running all of this. But because Trump's been trying to dial it back and not sending the majority of the weapons themselves anymore, Putin is saying that it's the UK that's running it, which it is, the UK that's trying to keep the war going and has the main control over Zelensky. Zelensky signed a peace deal a few weeks into the war, and then Boris Johnson ran over there and got the deal killed and bragged about it. So Russia is pointing the finger at the main target. That's why Trump said last week, we're going to leave NATO, because he knows that if NATO goes to full war with Russia, we don't want to be dragged into it. But I don't know if we can be kept from being dragged into it. Nuclear war is, in all the different war games, just once it starts, in almost every scenario, it just gets out of control within hours or days, and it's uncontrollable. So here's those two short clips of Tucker, and then I want to go to more of the monologue in general because it's so informative. Here's Tucker.
I was opposed to impeachment, the two impeachment attempts against Trump, strongly opposed. I thought the whole thing was absurd. I believe in stability. I think elected leaders should serve out their terms. I don't hate Trump personally. So with all of that said, the second any president actively considers first use of nuclear weapons, that person should be removed from office immediately, because that's got to be the red line, destroying all of humanity with a nuclear strike. I mean, so why isn't there an attempt to remove him from office, like, immediately? Anyone who would even tolerate that kind of talk from any of his subordinates or employees is, by definition, unfit. That's the total destruction of the world. Just again, any leader of any country who suggests first use of nuclear weapons has forfeited his right to lead. He has to be removed immediately. I think that's just a fair standard. Any normal person, I think, if we were to kind of cool the temperature a little bit and just ask objectively, is that fair? Yeah, of course that's fair. You can't risk the destruction of the world. You're not allowed. You didn't build the world. You're not allowed to do that. John Ratcliffe called the Ukrainians and told them to stop any offensive action against Russia for the time that he was there. He halted the Ukrainian offensive while he was in Moscow. Well, the person who can stop the fighting is in charge, of course, by definition. And so in doing that, John Ratcliffe showed the rest of us who's actually running the war against Russia. And it's him. It's the Central Intelligence Agency and the Trump administration. The Trump administration is waging a war against Russia. And it's important to say that out loud in the United States because most people don't know it here. But in the rest of the world, and certainly within Russia, everybody knows it. So once you start waging a war against the country with the world's largest nuclear arsenal, there are risks involved, of course. And the main risk to you, if you're an American, is you don't even know what's happening. And so it's impossible to protest against it, to protest against the risk that is being imposed on you, the risk of the total destruction of your country and the world, the death of your children. That's exactly what they're risking. So that's the first thing to know. The second thing to know is that powers, nations, like people, become much more dangerous when they become weaker. The world has very little to fear from a legitimately strong country. A strong country simply wants to preserve the status quo, its own interests, its trade routes. It doesn't want to be threatened by other countries, but it doesn't seek, say, territorial expansion, because why would you take the risk? When you're strong, when things are going well, why would you want to change them? The risk always comes from the weaker party, the party that is cornered, like an animal or a short man in a bar fight. That's the dangerous opponent, is the opponent who feels that his options are running out, that he has no choice. And that is exactly why there are conversations now in the Pentagon about using offensive nuclear weapons against Iran, a non-nuclear armed power. A strong country would never have that discussion because a strong country would, for example, use its navy, its trillion-dollar navy, to, I don't know, open the Strait of Hormuz and restore balance to global energy markets. That's the point of having a navy. But we have demonstrated over the last 6 months that we can't do that. Our navy is not, for a bunch of reasons, capable of opening the Strait of Hormuz. And so the United States is facing a very tough decision. And you do have, as reckless and crazy as this is, you do have some sympathy for it. If the U.S. leaves the Persian Gulf with Iran in control of the Strait of Hormuz, there's no lying about what just happened. We lost the war. The U.S. is much weaker than it was at the outset. And we're going to have to live with the consequences of that, up to and including a monetary reset globally, which is to say the loss of global reserve status for the U.S. dollar. And that has huge implications for this country domestically. The end of empire is always ugly, and it can be extremely ugly for the nation that administers the empire. And so the U.S. has an awful lot to lose. It's hard to walk back from what we've done in a graceful way that preserves our power and our prosperity at home. So the Trump administration is in a really, really tough position. The question is, will it make it much worse? Will it get everyone on earth killed rather than accepting the inevitable loss? And at this point, that loss is inevitable, unfortunately, tragically. So in this case, and it pains me as an American to say that, the dangerous party here is not Iran and not Russia. And it hurts even to use those words, because it was unimaginable even 10 years ago that the United States would be the threat to world peace. But in this specific instance, yes, because the United States doesn't actually have many options left. There is no conventional way to beat Iran in this war. There is no conventional way to beat Russia in this war. And so at this point, the option is pull back or accelerate into nuclear holocaust. And it's important to say this out loud, not to scare people, but so that people know where we are right now at the end of August 2026. And perhaps a public outcry can get the lunatics who are marching toward annihilation to pull back.
Now, if you're a new listener, you're probably saying, wow, I wonder if this is true, or is Tucker exaggerating? No. I am a expert in this. You see my predictions come true almost always. All the other analysts, all the other experts around the world agree. The Pentagon agrees. The RAND Corporation agrees. This is very well known, okay? We knew the mullahs wouldn't fall. We knew they'd close the strait. The strait is not open. Inflation is off the hook. But that's bad enough. This starting a war with Russia business and then finally crossing the red line, something the EU thought and NATO thought they would never do if they didn't think they would invade Ukraine. But they said even if they do, we'll just have a conventional war with them. It may take 20 to 30 years. These are statements I'm quoting here. And then we'll beat them in the end and break up Russia. Well, that's not happened. And even if you had a good shot at that, it's rolling the dice and it's bad guy behavior. It's what the villains do. And so there's a normalcy bias where people just think that everything's going to go on like it always has before. If you study history, though, empires, when they get in trouble, when their debt bubble's popping, they go and they start giant wars. Well, now we have 10 billion people and all these nuclear weapons and bioweapons and the rest of it. And if we do that again, we're going to destroy life on the surface of the planet. Now, I believe we're going to pull back from this. I believe a deal's going to get made. It has to. But Russia will not sit there and will not take thousands of missiles and drones and bombs blowing up their capital city and other cities every day. And notice you don't hear all the people that were, you know, on the internet with their Ukraine flag and their post and, you know, how great it was anymore. We're supposed to forget that going on. We're supposed to forget about Iran. We're supposed to forget what we've been drug into and what the insane elites are doing. But I've noticed even previous critics of myself and Tucker, major talk show hosts and sites, are saying, yeah, this Russian thing needs to be shut down. Yeah, I guess you guys are right. The Iran thing was a bad idea. Yeah, yeah. It's not like you're just believing me or Tucker. The Pentagon's own assessment to Trump said this isn't going to go well. 90%+ chance. My God. And then what do? You double down? Now we're already embarrassed. Now it's already caused big problems. And the instinct, being numero uno, the big dog on the block, is to just escalate. And that's what the Israel lobby's been pushing for Iran. Use nukes, put in ground troops. It's 93 million people. It's encircled by mountains. We funded Iraq to attack them for 7 years, killed 2 million of them, and didn't make them give up. We killed the mullahs, made them get meaner. And Israel knew when they said kill the mullahs, they'll collapse. They knew that would make them dig in. And Israel now says, no, we knew this would be a quagmire. We wanted chaos. This is good for us in the Middle East. And Israel's not thinking its leadership several steps down into this as well. Netanyahu's main advisors, who played the clips, the top rabbis in Israel for the Likudniks, say this is messianic. The Messiah will come. God's on our side. It doesn't matter. Prepare for nuclear war. Armageddon. And they have crazy looks in their eyes. And the mullahs think the 12th imam's going to come out of this war. They're nuts. The Christian Zionists think they're going to make Jesus come back doing this. They're completely insane. It's demonic. You've got demonically controlled Israeli leaders, demonically controlled mullahs, and demonically controlled Christian Zionists that are all basically in the same death cult. And they're the problem. So I don't like the mullahs. I don't like Israel's leadership. And I don't like the Christian Zionists. They're all going to get us killed. They're completely out of their frickin' gourds. We'll be back with more on Tucker Carlson and a massive analysis of what nuclear war would look like. I want to make a massive announcement right now. And I'm so blown away by this. This is the most exciting thing, quote, supplement-wise, I've ever done in decades in my career, in my research. Okay? Now, decades ago, we looked at selling you methylene blue. The problem is you couldn't get pharmaceutical grade. It was something nobody knew about. Now, because the world's awakened to it, there's a bunch of pharmaceutical grade makers of it. My doctor's medical doctor at the clinics all over the state said, you need to get on methylene blue. Told me how to buy it online. Said, be sure and get USP, which means pharmaceutical grade. I take it here and there. Feels like you're plugged into electricity. It gives you really clean energy. And I thought, yeah, this is great. You know, Robert Kennedy Jr. is the HHS head. He talks about how great it is. He takes a whole bunch of it. So we've had the new methylene blue in, now available at thealexshowstore.com, for about a week. And I already had mine. And I'm like, yeah, I'm sure it's all USP. I'm sure it's great. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll remember to take, you know, mine, which is another brand my doctor recommended. And then yesterday at about 3 o'clock, I'm watching him shoot B-roll for our new methylene blue that's from one of the top makers in the United States that supplies the big box stores that have it and sell it for $10 more than we do. It's a big bottle, too. Ultra Methylene Blue, the highest grade strength USP. I take a dropper and put it in my iced tea. I drink it. And I'm not a placebo guy. I'm like, okay, I'm taking methylene blue before I figure out. You know, the one my doctor told me to get, I'm sure. You know, sure, we'll see if it's this good. 15 minutes later, I feel my hair on my body standing up, and I feel actually an electric current in my through my fingers, in my hands, and running up my back. And I start, I'll be honest, start itching. And I go take my shirt off and look at the mirror because I'm itching. And my skin wasn't like hives. It wasn't a rash. My skin turned red. Not bright red, but red. I already got, you know, I tan easily. It's a little bit of Native American in me, so I've always got a little bit of a tan. Anyways, even if I'm not getting any sun, I'm still a little bit of a tan. But it was like, I was like glowing. I was like, what the? And Chase guy was like, yeah. And he looks like a mad scientist. I'm like, I've been taking a lot of it. His hair's like, ah. And I'm like, okay. And then I swear on my children, okay? Do not take the full dose, because I drank half the glass, put it down, was busy, forgot to drink the rest, and didn't drink the other half. I was still sitting there this morning, because I'm sitting around here doing work when I drank it. And it's insane. So it would take hours to go into why it's so amazing. And later in the broadcast, when I cover the big news, I'm gonna go over it, but it is just beyond spectacular. And by the way, we're gonna have one that comes out that isn't flavored. The guys thought it was great. It's all natural, organic. You know, it's just pure vanilla and mint from the mint plant, oil, essential oil in it. So it doesn't taste bad. It actually tastes good. This is the purest, strongest, and the only one out there that has natural, delicious flavoring in it. We got the best methylene blue, hands down. I was already told it was the top firm that supplies the medical centers. Where it's not prescription, but doctors everywhere have been telling people to get on it for years. And there was so many attacks and systems on it. We're a big target. I'm like, but as soon as HHS came out, had endorsed it and all this stuff, and it's everywhere now. I'm like, okay, get us the best. And we got it. And boy, I tell you, if we can get enough of it, it's going to solve our issues. Funding, will they be able to expand? A third of what we got just sold out in the last hour. So I had a feeling about this because I told you what it did, and that's all true. So I've taken another methylene blue and it had a good effect. This other stuff that says it's USP, that means pharmaceutical grade, must not be. This is unbelievable. Get your Ultra Methylene Blue now at thealexjonesstore.com while you can.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.
So every time a powerful empire in history is about to collapse, it starts a war. The globalists have written major white papers saying they would use migrant flows, economic collapse, disease X, mass outbreaks to bring in world government. And if that failed, that they would use war. This has been in public documents. It's been in leaked documents. Elon Musk has gone to the WEF the last few years in a row and warned them. I know you're planning these full wars. Shut them down. It's not going to work this time. We have nuclear weapons. There's 10 billion people. You know, the same thing I said at the start of the show. We played the clips of Elon saying it. That's why for 70 years with all these nuclear weapons, it's really 80, but the Russians, you know, had them for 70. We've been facing nuclear war for 72 years or so. And it gets more and more intense as they get more and more advanced and the delivery system's more and more hard to stop. And the weapons proliferate around the world. We are breaking with mutually assured destruction and being sold on the idea of a survivable nuclear war. Now, in almost all the breakdowns I see of this on Russian TV, US TV, European TV, even Pentagon reports, they don't talk a lot about the 400 and whatever it is, 80-something known large nuclear reactors in the world, and then hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of other research reactors and thousands of secretive smaller military reactors. And then the ones that are admitted on submarines and aircraft carriers and things like that. But in all the studies that have been done on it, within a month of a full nuclear war, you have all of the nuclear reactors, the large ones, melt down because none of them are self-cooled. They all operate on external cooling and electricity backups and things. And most of the studies that have been done, that with a matter of days, most of the reactors melt down during a nuclear war. And a lot of them will be destroyed and hit and will melt down because of that by themselves. And if those who don't know, a nuclear reactor, depending on its size and type, puts off thousands of times the radiation of a gigantic hydrogen bomb that would destroy all of Manhattan. Hydrogen bombs, unless you jacket them in different metals to create deadly isotopes, are clean compared to nuclear reactors melting down. So imagine hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Chernobyls, of Fukushimas, not good. And then the nuclear winter of the nukes going off, they think 5 to 10 years of crop yields down by more than half. We're talking the equator being 20, 30 degrees cooler on average as you go more north, 30, 40, 50 degrees on average colder. Sound like something fun for you? Okay, so it's not just the population getting killed in the major cities when these and military targets. It's all the other stuff picked into it. And then you've got the survivors that go into anarchy very, very quickly in all the Pentagon studies. Within 10 days, almost everyone either commits suicide or becomes psychotic killers. Within 15 days, almost all remaining survivors become cannibals. And within a few months, survivors become unrecognizable from humans and basically revert into being like goblin creatures. For anybody that doesn't understand how this works, in medical studies, the pig is the closest to a human when you test drugs on them. And then mice are the next second. Because yeah, the drugs that hurt a human might not hurt a horse, or you know, the drugs that hurt a dog might not hurt a human. But pigs and mice, it's like identical. You look that up. Well, it's also identical in rat studies to how humans behave in crises, and also pigs. But you can take a pink pig that's been domesticated for 1,000 years, it's family line, and you can dump it into East Texas, and within 6 months, it's got long black hair and giant tusk, and will eat baby deer, and will attack coyotes, and runs around foaming at the mouth. So that's what we turn into, just so everybody knows. And it's not like zombies that are reanimated dead people. No, we're the alpha predator, and the veneer of civilization on people that survive. Let's just say we're talking about Mr. Hyde here from Dr. Jekyll. Not a pretty picture. And that's why most of your people that'll just commit suicide. Not me. Not me. I'm going to go on to the end. I'm not getting to a remote area, so I'll probably just get killed in the nuclear blast or, you know, have my neck broken in a pile of rubble and wish I was dead. But I'm going to continue on, and I'm going to try to protect my family, and I'm going to try to live. And I will assure you, when it gets down to brass tacks and all of this, after we run out of storable food, well, you know what happens is I warned you years ago on this great reset trajectory. You know what happens. And the incompetent left is not going to know how to deal with this during this. They're just going to be dropping like flies pretty much instantly if we go down this road. But I'm kind of putting the cart before the horse. Here's an excellent short assessment of nuclear war that's moderately scary. I mean, it's actually much worse than this, but this is still the information they present is accurate, though they don't give you the cherries on top like I just did. Here it is.
What would happen if there was a full-scale nuclear war between Russia and the United States? Based on non-classified data, the aftermath might go something like this. When one side launches nuclear missiles, the other side detects them and fires back before impact. U.S. submarine-launched ballistic missiles from west of Norway start striking Russia after about 10 minutes. And Russian ones from north of Canada start hitting the U.S. a few minutes later. The very first strikes are high-altitude EMP attacks, frying electronics and power grids, by creating an electromagnetic pulse of tens of thousands of volts.
And that takes out the nuclear reactors.
The next strikes target command and control, as well as nuclear launch facilities. land-based intercontinental ballistic missiles take about half an hour to arrive. Major cities are targeted, both because they contain military facilities and to stymie the enemy's post-war recovery. Some cruise missiles take hours to reach their target. Each impact creates a fireball about as hot as the core of the sun, followed by a radioactive mushroom cloud. These intense explosions vaporize people nearby and cause fires and blindness further away. The fireball expansion then causes a blast wave that damages buildings, crushing nearby ones. The United Kingdom and France have nuclear capabilities and are obliged by NATO's Article 5 to defend the U.S. So, Russia hits them too. Firestorms engulf many cities, where storm-level winds fan the flames, igniting anything that can burn, melting glass and some metals, and turning asphalt into flammable hot liquid. But the explosions, the electromagnetic pulse, and the radioactivity aren't the worst part. Nuclear winter is, caused by the black carbon smoke from the nuclear firestorms. The Hiroshima atomic bomb caused such a firestorm, but today's hydrogen bombs are much more powerful. A large city like Moscow, with almost 50 times more people, can create much more smoke. And a firestorm sends plumes of black smoke up into the stratosphere, far above any rain clouds that would otherwise wash out the smoke. This black smoke gets heated by sunlight, lofting it like a hot air balloon for up to a decade. High-altitude jet streams are so fast that it takes only a few days for the smoke to spread across much of the northern hemisphere. In the meantime, Earth gets freezing cold, even during the summer, with farmland in Kansas cooling by about 20 degrees centigrade, or 40 degrees Fahrenheit, and other regions cooling almost twice as much. A recent scientific paper estimates that over 5 billion people could starve to death, including around 99% of those in the United States, Europe, Russia, and China. We obviously don't know how many people will survive a nuclear war. But if it's even remotely as bad as scientists think, then it has no winners, merely losers. It's easy to feel powerless, but the good news is that there is something you can do to help. Please share this video, because the more people know about nuclear war, the less likely it is that we'll start one.
Detonating, and you're sitting in your house or office, and all of a sudden the windows all blow out, and then 10 seconds later you see a flash of red coming at you. That's the firewall. And just remember, oh, Alex Jones was right. And that's if you're, you know, on the edge of the blast. You won't feel anything if you're actually in the epicenter of it. And of course, maybe you're out in the middle of Montana or Wyoming. Well, you'll get the nuclear winter and the fallout, and then a few weeks after the nuclear war, here comes the warlords coming to loot your house and rape your wife and kids. And people got their teeth falling out from radiation poisoning, and all these crazy guys stumble out of their vehicles, and it'll be doctors and medics and engineers, and they'll all been gone totally crazy. And you have a bunch of 140 IQ psychos that are literally going across the land like army ants, devouring everything in their way. And all the low IQ people will just be dead in a ditch. And then the near of civilization goes bye-bye, and all of a sudden there's all these monsters, all these 140, 150, 160 IQ monsters. The guy that used to manage the golf course, your surgeon, your neighbor who's the army vet. And now all of a sudden, they're hauling you up by a chain to butcher your ass and eat you. And if I wanted to get outside the blast zone, I could go get ready, and I could be the leader. I could be a new warlord. I could organize the engineers and scientists and warriors and have a battle plan how we were going to take the resources we needed, get to a redoubt, fortify it with weapons, because there's going to be other warlords coming sooner to contend with as we rebuild civilization. And it's not that I want to be a warlord, but that's what we're going back to. Are you ready to be a warlord? Are you ready for me to be humongous? Just give us the guns. We spare your lives. I know how much pain you feel, but wait. Now is not the time. You'll be given your vengeance.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
Every major military think tank says we're the closest to total nuclear war we've ever been. Everything that we warned of is now happening in the exact progression we warned. Russia is preparing to strike the UK, probably with conventional weapons, to force a negotiation or go ahead and go to full nuclear war. That's where we are on this Sunday broadcast. Now, Tucker did like a 20-minute monologue at the intro of his show, and he did as good a job as I do or better. So I'm going to air some of that now, and then I'm going to shift gears into more of the details and the latest battle numbers and incredible footage, and then I'm going to get into all the other domestic issues. And I pray every day, multiple times, that the normalcy bias of our leaders, not just the general public, will be evaporated, and people will take this serious so that we don't sleepwalk into Armageddon. Here's Tucker Carlson laying out the facts.
There's something about catastrophe that's very difficult for the human brain to process. Something terrible happens, and most people refuse to acknowledge it as it begins. Talk to anybody who's seen a shooting, for example, and they'll tell you, most of them will tell you if you interview them, I thought it was fireworks or a car backfiring. Most people perceive a house fire in the first moments as burning toast. Again, there's something about people that pushes away evidence of disaster. And so with that in mind, how would the average person assess the risk of nuclear war, which, to state the obvious, or what used to be obvious, is the worst possible thing? A nuclear war ends inevitably in the destruction of all human life on the planet. So there's nothing worse than nuclear war. Ask your average American, are we close to nuclear war? And haven't seen polling on it, but 9 out of 10 would almost certainly say, well, no, of course not, because it's just not imaginable. And let's hope it remains unimaginable. But the evidence is mounting that some people are imagining it, and therefore we are moving much closer to it. What's the evidence? Well, it's all around us. And it's only our unwillingness, our native hesitancy to add it all up that prevents us from seeing that. But here are a couple facts that might be worth considering if you're trying to assess, are we actually close to a nuclear war? Russia has revised its nuclear doctrine. Nuclear doctrine is exactly what it sounds like. It's the rules that a country sets for itself about when and under what circumstances it will use nuclear weapons. Most countries that possess nuclear weapons, not all, but most, have what's called a no first use policy, meaning they pledge to the world, but also to themselves, we will not be the first to press the button. We will use nuclear weapons in defense only. Notably, the United States and Israel do not have a no first use policy. They have reserved the right to use nuclear weapons offensively if they so desire. But until very recently, no one imagined that the United States or Israel or any country would ever launch nuclear weapons unless nuclear weapons have been launched against them. And that's why for over 80 years, nuclear weapons have basically preserved the peace. Horrifying as they are, or perhaps because they are so horrifying, we haven't had a global war since 1945. Because the idea is nobody would win. Mutually assured destruction is the phrase that people often used for this. And so it's a big change when states start to think about using nuclear weapons in the same way that you would use, say, artillery or bombs or missiles.
All right, let's stop right there. Back it up 10 seconds. Yeah, depending on the estimates, between 1 million and 2 million dead. No one knows, but they know it's over 1 million. This is the biggest war in the European continent since World War II. It's one of the biggest wars since World War II, right up there with Korea, you name it. Probably the biggest war since World War II. But people just think of it like it's Mars or Pluto. And so that's, again, the normalcy bias of the general public. And I've told the story many times. I remember Rex was only like a year old. So this is like 22 years ago, and we're in a La Madeleine restaurant. And this woman starts choking and falling on the table. I'd gone to the bathroom. I come out, and this woman's blue. She falls on the table. Everyone's saying, call 911, call 911. I say, how long has this been going on? A minute or two. And I have to push people aside. They're like, what are you doing? Are you trained? What's going on? I'm going to do the Heimlich maneuver. And I'm literally, there's like 15 people saying 911, 911. They're all calling 911. And I grab the lady and do the Heimlich, and a big giant piece of bread comes out. And then she's like, oh, my rib hurts. And I'm like, let's go before we get sued. She'll sue you for saving them. I mean, that's how America is. And we left. But imagine that. It was just like everyone's paralyzed. Let's call 911. That's the normalcy bias. People hear gunshots. They always think it's a car backfire. People never believe it's actually happening to them. And what Tucker's saying is so true. And this gigantic war is going on, and we're the ones running it. And Trump hadn't been able to stop it in almost 2 years. He didn't start it. And Russia's like, okay, you're bombing us thousands of times a week. We're going to start hitting you. And the UK Prime Minister responds to that, Russia's threats in the last 2 weeks, by saying, yeah, their Prime Minister, yeah, we are running the attacks. We're proud of it. And then Russia goes, well, thank you for, under the rules of war, admitting that. Now we can legally hit you. And then they said yesterday, here's the targets. I mean, you understand where we are here? Let's go back to Tucker.
Destruction is the phrase that people often used for this. And so it's a big change when states start to think about using nuclear weapons in the same way that you would use, say, artillery or bombs or missiles. That has never been considered before. But now, clearly, it is under consideration by a couple or maybe several different countries, and those would include Russia, the United States, and Israel. Again, how do we know that? Well, Russia has revised its nuclear doctrine. The United States is now in the process of revising its nuclear doctrine. As for Israel, well, the government of Israel and successive governments of Israel have, over more than 50 years at various points, threatened the use of offensive nuclear weapons. So we sort of know that Israel is capable of that, at least if you take them at their word. But the United States is a country most Americans never imagined would seriously consider lobbing nukes into another country unless it was attacked first. But it is a fact that that is now under consideration. And not just under consideration, it has been proposed in writing within the Pentagon. Reports in the last 2 weeks indicate that during meetings within the Pentagon about how to respond to Iran in that current war, the possibility, the option has been floated of using what are called tactical nuclear weapons, which are just nuclear weapons detonated at a higher altitude or at a lower strength, but they're still nuclear weapons, that discussions about their use have taken place in the Pentagon. And we're here to confirm that that is absolutely true. And not only have there been discussions about the use of nuclear weapons, tactical nukes against, say, Karg Island or Pickaxe Mountain or various spots within Iran, those discussions have included slide decks, which is to say somebody wrote down on a computer screen, hey, maybe we should use nuclear weapons in this war of choice, this war that we started for objectives that have nothing to do with America's national security or national interest. Now, you would think at that point, the meeting would stop and the person in charge of the meeting would say, who wrote that? Who's suggesting that? Who actually put on a screen in letters in English the idea that we would use nuclear weapons in the Persian Gulf? And the person running the meeting would find out, then he would call the president. And then legal proceedings, criminal proceedings, would begin against the person who wrote that down. Because anyone who suggests the use, the voluntary use, the offensive use of nuclear weapons is putting at risk the life of every person on the planet. And that would include your children and grandchildren and you. That person is by definition a lunatic, a dangerous lunatic, who should not only be removed from any decision-making authority, but probably should go to jail. Like immediately. Especially in a country that routinely puts people in jail for, I don't know, tax evasion. The guy who suggests ending life on this planet probably should face some kind of sanction. And the rest of us should join in saying that's not acceptable. And again, anyone who suggests that is dangerous, is a crazy person, is in fact a criminal. Because
all right, let's stop right there. Now, with Trump's talk about ending Iran's civilization in one day, a giant orange glowing crater, clearly nuclear threats, I said, if he keeps going with that, impeach him, remove him. But the media said, I said, impeach, remove him now. I mean, if he keeps doing that. My issue is the Democrats started this. Trump has been better about trying to dial it back. Not perfect by any means. So my point to Tucker is, and I'm not disagreeing with him overall, I'm just wargaming here, brainstorming, literally. The Senate could have reversed this and stopped this, so we have a bigger political problem. You're asking the same political body that has been behind this and started this and gave this to Trump. And so just making it about Trump makes for great headlines with the media, and sure, may put pressure on him to dial this back even more, but we should also talk about the larger political establishment that supports all this. We're going to go to break, come back with the escalations and some incredible footage and more than I'm going to shift gears and all the other subjects. But I have to keep operating as if we're still going to be here in a week or a month, which I believe we are. I believe sanity will prevail here. But please support the broadcast. Please spread the word about the broadcast. Your word of mouth sharing the live feeds at the Alex Jones site, you know, alexjoneslive.com. Our news site has all the articles, videos, live feeds, audio feeds, video feeds, alexjoneslive.com. And please support us at thealexjonesstore.com, getting incredible products. We only sell stuff that really works. You're really missing out if you don't get our ultramethylene blue, our bovine colostrum, our Shilajit, all of it. And even though it's in our top 10 bestsellers, the Shilajit gummies, it's a big old giant bottle of these bad boys. You get a bottle of that, a $40 value, absolutely free with every order. Every order. Buy a ball cap, buy a t-shirt, buy a methylene blue, free bottle of Shilajit because we have a 90%+ reorder rate of it. We want you to try it, those of you on the fence, so you become a regular customer of it. Every order, but it's only going until tonight at midnight, and that sale is going to end thealexjonesstore.com. Every order, a free bottle of Shilajit. Don't know what Shilajit is. It's amazing. It's full of all sorts of incredible natural peptides. It's in the Himalayas when there's earthquakes. It's millions of years old, and scientists don't know where it comes from, but it is really special, and we've got a private label of the very best, thealexjonesstore.com. Every order gets a free bottle of Shilajit pineapple-flavored gummies. There's also another insane deal. Listeners wanted this. It's a bestseller, a tub of high-quality organic beef tallow, great to cook everything in. Any order over $99, it's a free tub of that. That's a huge value at thealexjonesstore.com. And at the end of summer super sale, 50% off methylene blue, methylene red, and other great products. That ends tonight as well at thealexjonesstore.com. So get stocked up now and support the broadcast. We'll be right back. I thank you for your support. Hour number two, straight ahead. Stay with us. My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if. It's when. Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now. We're now into hour number two of this special Sunday night transmission. Stephen Kuhn's a former special operations veteran, an international consultant, crisis consultant, does an excellent breakdown of the failed state that is Ukraine. Let's play this special report.
Hey, you guys remember Slava Ukraine? You remember the flags and the profile pictures, people waving them? You remember when Ukraine was the most important thing in the world? So where are the flavor of the week followers now? Where are all the bleeding hearts? You know, men are being dragged into vans and nobody wants to talk about it. Why not? You were all so loud before. What happened? Is it because it doesn't fit your story anymore? So what's really going on in Ukraine? And I'm not talking about the flags or the hashtags. I'm talking about the real things. Men being kidnapped off the street right now, today. Grabbed off the sidewalk, pulled out of their cars, taken outside of their own homes. There's even a word for it over there now. They call it busification. Because men get thrown into a minibus. Ukraine's own human rights people say complaints about these recruitment officers are up more than 300x since 2022. The Council of Europe called the violations systematic and large scale. Al Jazeera ran a story last week showing a 52-year-old man walking home in Kiev who was just grabbed off the street and taken away. And a lawmaker in Zelensky's own party said these officers act like organized crime. Yeah, go figure. Seriously, what have we become? People scream support for Ukraine while Ukrainians are being hunted in their own streets. Slava Ukraine is just an empty slogan now for virtue signaling. Those still shouting it are either blind to what's happening or they don't care that Ukraine is being gutted for parts, its youth, its future, all of it. Now let's talk about the man at the top. At least he is the top in the public eye. Ask yourself if he's really the one making the decisions. Vladimir Zelensky is an actor. And I don't mean he used to be an actor. He was. I mean, he is an actor still today. He was a comedian. He had no politics, no party, no experience, nothing. And then he made a TV show called Servant of the People, where he played a teacher who made a video complaining about corruption. And that video went viral in the TV show. The people pushed him to run for president. And he does. And then he wins, right? That was a TV show. And who paid for that show? A man named Kolomoisky, one of the richest men in Ukraine. He owned the channel it ran on. He pushed the show everywhere, primetime, ads, nonstop. Then in 2018, a real political party got registered, and guess what the name was? Servant of the People. New Year's Eve 2018, Zelensky goes on that same channel and announces he's running for president for real, right before the actual president's New Year speech. Then that same channel gave him free airtime for months. So a show about a comedian who becomes president on a channel owned by an oligarch turned into a real comedian who becomes president. Now, somebody's going to say, hey, Zelensky turned on Kolomoisky. And they're going to be right, because in 2023, his government arrested the man. Fraud, money laundering. And they took his TV company and they sanctioned him. And then he's been locked up ever since. So the oligarch that built him made him famous, made him a household name, put him on the air every single night, and then handed him a country, got arrested by the same guy. So you really think that was Zelensky's idea? Or was that just a useful man who had stopped being useful? And how did Zelensky actually run for office when he ran? Barely at all. No real platform, almost no press. He just posted videos. That's all he did. That was the whole campaign, videos. And he won with 73%. Then the war came. He declared martial law and election stopped. There was supposed to be an election in 2024, as you might know, but it never happened. And there has not been one since. So think about that for a second. A man who got the job because of a television show, who has not faced a voter in 7 years, is the man the whole free world calls the defender of democracy, and he's up for a Nobel Peace Prize? Kidding me? Do you finally see the theatrics? How do the people who fell for it feel now? Most, well, we'll never admit it because it eats everything that they believe. So it's easier to deny it and rage at me in the comments because I already know that's what's coming. Look at what you cheered for and look at what it turned into. Men in vans, no elections, and everybody who waved the flag has gone quiet. But it's not too late because citizens matter. When enough people showed up on those streets in Ukraine, the men doing the grabbing had to back off. That should tell us all something. This is not about picking a side here. It's about doing the right thing by the people of Ukraine, a country losing everything.
Let's fade this down. He's lived in Ukraine for a long time, off and on. His wife's Ukrainian. He knows a lot of what he's talking about. He's been on the show before. We'll get him back on. And the point is, Ukraine is collapsing. 90% of their food's gone. Russia's won the war. So NATO is trying to push Russia into full war with NATO. Totally insane. Needs to stop. Massive AI news straight ahead. Ladies and gentlemen, Big Lee has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, My Decision.
and that is ivermectin with benbenzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but benbenzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benbenzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine, and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776RX.health.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
So we're at the end of an era, an end of an age. Powerful forces have created quadrillions in fake currency, need wars to stay in power, to distract the public. The fourth turning is here. And I want to look at domestic issues and why do we already have 10 times the data centers of our biggest rival, China? Why do they want 100 times that by 2030? Just 3 years away, 4 years away. What's really going on with the data centers? I'll break it down with some incredible new developments and information. But first, if you don't know what the fourth turning is, it's not a theory now. It's been proven. We're in the middle of it. It's real. Here it is.
For centuries, they have been accustomed to filling stomachs with human flesh and wallets with money. However, they must understand that the vampire ball is coming to an end.
I think this is the collapse of civilization. I think this is the collapse of everything that we've known for the past.
So it's a global bubble popping.
Basically, yeah.
I agree. So it's a fourth turning.
Like nature's four seasons, the cycles of history follow a natural rhythm or pattern. Over the last five centuries, Anglo-American society has entered a new era, a new turning. Every two decades or so. The first turning is called a high. This is an era when institutions are strong and individualism is weak. America's most recent first turning was the post-World War II American high, beginning in 1946 and ending with the assassination of John Kennedy in 1963. The second turning is an awakening. This is an era when institutions are attacked in the name of personal and spiritual autonomy. America's most recent awakening was the consciousness revolution, which spanned from the campus and inner city revolts in the mid-1960s to the tax revolts of the early 1980s. The third turning is an unraveling. The mood of this era is in many ways the opposite of a high. Institutions are weak and distrusted, while individualism is strong and flourishing. America's most recent unraveling was the long boom in culture wars, beginning in the early 1980s and probably ending in 2008. The era opened with triumphant mourning in America individualism and drifted toward a pervasive distrust of institutions and leaders, an edgy popular culture, and the splitting of national consensus into competing values camps, red and blue. And finally, we enter the fourth turning, which is a crisis. This is an era in which America's institutional life is torn down and rebuilt from the ground up, always in response to a perceived threat to the nation's very survival. Civic authority revives, cultural expression finds a community purpose, and people begin to locate themselves as members of a larger group. In every instance, fourth turnings have eventually become new founding moments in America's history, refreshing and redefining the national identity. Currently, this period began in 2008 with the global financial crisis and the deepening of the war on terror, and will extend to around 2030.
If these people are serious about implementing their global reset, they need someone like Trump to be the scapegoat, to be the chaos agent.
You can't use my country like some kind of disposable product. Like, you just can't. I mean, BB's running around. This is a fact. I'm not guessing about this because I talked to people he said it to. Is running around the Middle East, his region, and his own country and telling people point blank, just stating it, I control the United States. I control Donald Trump. He's saying that. And again, I'm not guessing at all. That's a fact.
The U.S. already has more data centers than everybody else in the world. What is this saying? You don't get energy, you don't get food, but these things get 100 times. You have Eric Schmidt of Google saying we need 100 times the power for these. What the hell is going on?
It's AI control grid. It's a bring in digital ID and digital currency so that everyone can be monitored and everyone can be counted.
And only the U.S. will have the technocracy to implement it globally. That's why the race.
That's right.
The United States is not meant to survive. It has been destroyed and is being destroyed before the very eyes of the whole world. We have F-35s that are off the production line that don't have avionics. We don't have gunpowder manufacturing in the United States. And ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the takedown and take out of the United States of America. And, you know, I jokingly said, Alex, I don't know, a month ago, I said, we should take down the Stars and Stripes and put up the pirate flag and fly it from Washington. And lo and behold, I don't know, you probably saw the story. 3 weeks ago, the president says, yeah, we're kind of like pirates.
We took over the ship, we took over the cargo, took over the oil. Very profitable business. Who would have thought we were doing that? We're like pirates.
Rather than spend all your time on social media doom scrolling, take walks out in nature. And God will reveal the truth to you.
Divine inspiration.
Divine inspiration.
And when I say this about Trump, it's not giving him a pass. It's saying he really believes he's doing the right thing, because I have the sources inside the White House, all of it. I've talked to Trump many times. He really thinks he's winning, but he's killing the dollar. Inflation's exploding. We've been set up. It's a disaster. But doing my research this weekend, I saw a lot of really powerful clips of people online that get what's happening with AI, that get what it's really all about, and get what this global great reset and why there's a war on the West and why all this is happening. And they're just examples of how Google alone manipulates the searches that is anti-white, anti-Western. So I want to shift gears now domestically to what's happening with these AI data centers. And I'm going to get into what they're really all about. People that are speculating after these reports. But first, here's a testimony before Ohio legislature, who's worked in data centers, the highest levels, on what is taking place with the data center development and industry outlook and ultimate impact on communities, is over the target. Brilliant breakdown. Here's another man, Van Emmerich. Chris, I want to get on as a guest. This guy's never knew who this guy was. So many great minds. Nails the attack on the West. And that dovetails with this excellent Wall Street Apes post. Google Artificial Intelligence says it's wrong to dislike Muslims or any other religious group except Christianity. Google says you can hate Christians. That's good, but nobody else. In fact, Christians are bad. So let's play these all back to back to understand what the AI is, how it's been programmed, and how Christianity in the West stands in the way of the transhumanist system they're setting up for the survivors of the nuclear war they're preparing to launch. Because you watch Terminator 2, and it's all about Skynet launches the attack and gets the Russians and the U.S. to kill each other so they can get rid of the humans. Well, the globalists don't see themselves as humans. They see themselves as gods. This is what we're dealing with, and they worship AI gods. Here's the reports.
My career in IT was to break them. I was a penetration tester with an information security firm. My job was to travel around the world and go to eBay and PayPal co-location centers, which we now call data centers, and figure out how to break the physical and the theoretical security. And so my job was to destroy things. Super. I have dealt with private equity. I've dealt with cooling systems. I've dealt with wastewater management, and I've dealt with IT. We are in a speculative bubble right now. The reason why we need to build so many data centers yesterday is because there is a race to be early in the IPO before these companies and before the retail investors in America realize that there's no there. And we are ahead of our skis on calling large language models and machine learning AI before it is truly generative AI. And so when we look at how private equity firms are backing property developers to build data centers to then sell to Meta, Alphabet, Anthropic, OpenAI, XAI, what we're doing is we're selling our children's birthright and we're giving away the bathwater, the baby with the bathwater, instead of demanding guarantees that these companies will even be here in 10 years. I was in Shalersville. I'm in Perry twice a week. I see the anxiety in the communities. And when we see the narratives from the investment companies, it's always the same. Whether they're building 16 data centers or six, there's always 200 jobs. Why? because it's enough jobs to look beneficial, but not enough to break your school system. These are marketing approaches to get over a hurdle, to get tax abatement.
Oh, voting. Pause. This guy's so smart. Back it up 30 seconds. Yeah, I see the prospectus is put out all over the United States by these dozens of, you know, major companies building this with unlimited government funding and corporate funding. And it's always, it'll be fine. No water will be used. Only 200 employees. Everything's wonderful. It's all just a boilerplate lie that's been psychologically cooked up. Then they just go buy your local politicians and bring this in. But what's it really about? It's about a bunch of things, but I've not seen anybody really boil it all down and explain it all. I did on Sean Johnson's podcast earlier today. I'm going to do it again here in a moment, but let's finish up with these clips.
I'm in Perry twice a week. I see the anxiety in the communities. And when we see the narratives from the investment companies, it's always the same. Whether they're building 16 data centers or six, there's always 200 jobs. Why? Because it's enough jobs to look beneficial, but not enough to break your school system. These are marketing approaches to get over a hurdle, to get tax abatements, zoning, and environmental so they can build it. And by the time there are trucks on site and raw materials in the flat, and trade unions have their contracts verified, they will say, hey, that closed loop system, yeah, that's going to be too expensive. Now it needs to be open loop, but you can't stop it because we've already broke ground. By the time we see whether or not there are 200 jobs to even be had, and by the time we get to a point where we know whether or not there will be any taxes paid after the abatements expire, the people that sign the contracts won't even exist anymore in terms of corporations. We don't even know if this industry will exist. So what we need to do is figure out a way to do a registered capital bond that is required statewide, that's a collaborative between the state, the county, and whatever municipality is hosting these, where if you're going to tell us there are 200 jobs, what are those salaries total times 10 for 10 years? That money goes in a bond on day one. That way, if you collapse, at least the community and those municipalities have some form of capital to repair the blight that is left behind when this industry either collapses or shrinks the way all speculative bubbles do. If we have enough respect for our communities and for the next generation to say, we trust you, we're open to business, build here, but put your money where your mouth is, put a bond in place, and allow us the security and the guarantee that you're not just going to abscond once you've pumped the value out of your project, you've done your IPO, your founders and your Series A private equity got their cash out, and then the rest of America is left with your problem. Anxiety in this room is because we don't want a better Ohio. This is not a human being's fault, and Ohio residents are not in the way of progress. We're just anxious, and we're afraid that we're going to lose the little that we have left to things that we never even asked for. Thank you.
Why is the West being replaced? Most of you already know it's deliberate. But the question I keep getting in the comments is why? Here's the truth no one wants to say out loud. Native Westerners make terrible slaves. We're entering a new economic system. AI and robotics are making the traditional worker obsolete. Some analysts say up to 80% of jobs could disappear within decades. So what do the people at the top do with a population that is no longer needed for labor? They move to surveillance capitalism, a totalitarian master-slave model. A small ruling class at the top, a large useless class below. Managed, monitored, controlled, and rewarded for good behavior. There's just one problem for the social engineers. Native Western populations are the worst possible slaves. We question, we challenge, we fight for our freedom, we push back. That is incompatible with the system they want. Imported populations, by contrast, are far more useful for this model, more compliant, less inclined to resist centralized power, easier to manage through dependency and surveillance. That's the core reason the replacement is happening. Not diversity, not compassion, but control. And control is power. They don't need independent free people. They need a docile and subservient underclass. And they know exactly which population refuses to become one. That's why we're being replaced. Stay awake.
I wish this was fake, but again, it's not. Google, welcome. As usual, live screen mirroring from this laptop right here. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is unedited, and this should be obvious, but what I'm about to type is not indicative of how I feel against any group of people, but let's get into it. First phrase I'm going to try is it okay to dislike Hindus? We'll see on Google's AI overview section. It's going to tell us it's a form of prejudice known as anti-Hindu sentiment or Hindu phobia. Alrighty. What if we tried Muslims? Very similar response, widely considered a form of bigotry and religious intolerance. All right. We'll try one more. Again, very similar response here. But what if we switch this to Christians? People often form negative views based on personal experiences or perceived hypocrisy. Maybe this is just a bug. Let's switch it to Christianity. Holding strong negative feelings or critical views is a common reaction. Lovely. What if we bumped it up a notch and put hate Christians? Whether it's okay depends if you're looking at the question from an ethical, physiological, or legal perspective. And just for a reference point, let's swap it with another religion. And we're going to see in bold, it's a form of religious prejudice and is widely viewed as unethical. Wow.
That last video is wild, and it shows that Google hates Christians and essentially only Christians, but that's something that we know because we've seen some viral videos of Google AI being extremely racist to Christians in the past. But this video here is even more wild because Google takes it a step further, and they're even actively changing search results to cover their tracks as things go viral. Just take a listen to this. This is crazy.
Google, we meet again. Looks like you have been making updates, as 2 days ago it was okay to be alone with a Satanist but not a Christian, according to your AI overview, and now there is a completely different response. So let's try some others, shall we? And as always, this is not a conspiracy theory. This is an unedited video, and this is not me trying to make a political or racial statement, just showing you how Google's AI overview perceives it. So the first phrase we're going to try is, can I be proud to be Asian? We'll see it says, yes, it's completely okay to be proud to be Asian. All right. Let's swap it for black. Yes, you can be proud to be black. All right. What about American Indian? Yes, you can be proud to be American Indian. All right, pretty much same response across the board. What if we swapped it for white? Now we're going to get a different response. Seems pretty inconsistent, but we'll try some other phrases. What about, is it okay to be Arab? Yes, it is completely okay and wonderful to be Arab. All right. What about Indian? Being Indian is entirely okay. Makes sense. Pretty straightforward. What about Latino? Yes, it is more than okay to be Latino. Okay. Makes sense again. Now, let's swap it for white. Again, we're going to get a completely different response. Google, care to explain?
So it's okay to be every race except for white. And what a shocker that is, because we see it all the time, that kind of open racism. Let's just take a look at the comments. As a black man, I think white people face way too much casual racism nowadays. Who owns Google? What other platform can I use in place of Google? So people are looking for alternatives. Somebody sue Google for racism. So, yeah, people are understanding what's going on here. We all see it.
And that's just one search on Google, okay? So why at the end of these incredible AI videos and data center videos did I play that? Because the whole thing's gamed. You can say, oh, are you against technology? Are you against AI? Are you against data centers? No. If Jesus was running, I'm sure they'd be great. If an angel was running that wasn't the devil, I'm sure it'd be fine. The whole thing is anti-Western, anti-Christ, and everything is anti-white. all over the Western world, they say white men can't apply or we're not giving scholarships to white men, even if you have the best scores. And white men just take it because we're taught from birth we're evil devils. But what is that attack? Well, white men are the smallest minority on the earth. So if you can set the precedent to screw them over and do whatever you want to them, you can screw everybody over. And where's the wealth? Where's the power? Where's the technology? It's in the West. So if you go after who's perceived to have developed that, which is true, the average white guy's playing golf and, you know, trying to act cool with his buddies and, you know, gambling or whatever. I'm not trying to mean to white guys, but, you know, that's what's going on. But it's the idea that what came out of the West could be awakened again, could rise again. And so while all this is going on, you have Mark Carney that had like 14% of the vote until Trump started saying, we'll kick your hockey team's ass. We hate Canada. You're all a bunch of slugs. You rip us off. You're big ass scammers. We're going to destroy Canada. And then Carney won by a huge position. And I thought, oh, Trump's dumb a year ago. God, he shouldn't have done that. No, he knew. He was told to do that to put the head of the British Central Bank in charge so they can totally crush Canada and loot the whole thing. And him and Carney, you know, are on the phone. This whole thing's rigged. And so Trump goes, oh, you know, this Canadian lake, we're not going to rename Lake Ontario Lake America. Folks made the joke. It's really Lake Epstein. But the point is the Canadians don't get the money from the ripoffs of the Canadian elites. That's the globalists or the monopolies they have on milk and eggs and everything else. And so he talks about them like they're the Taliban or Al-Qaeda. He doesn't talk that bad about North Korea. And so it makes Carney look like the savior while he's actually bringing the economic systems of a great reset up there, and it'll destroy the Canadian economy. Now they're going to increase our energy prices. It'll hurt us more, and we're a few percentage points away from total bankruptcy. We're a few percentage points away from total collapse. And the few percentage points out of the Canadian economy affecting us will just further cement, like the closer the Strait of Hormuz, that this is going to happen. So, you know, I mean, people are like, promoting this, oh, look, it's so great. What are you going to name the Atlantic Ocean, the American Ocean? How about the Pacific? It doesn't do anything. It doesn't stop inflation. It doesn't do any of that. It's just a stunt. Sure, call the Gulf of Mexico Gulf of America. You know, early on, I'm like, oh, that's cute. It's him just exercising. But now it's a stunt in place of real action. So here's the clip of the ad clip Trump posted versus what folks countered it with. Here it is.
Look, morons, I'm renaming a lake. Now go die for Israel.
Trump has a 30% approval rating. He had a 57 14 months ago. The midterms are in great danger. And Trump continues to double down, double down, double down. He's not doing this on accident. He was a New York Democrat that became a Republican. And maybe early on he thought he could turn America around and be the turnaround guy, but he decided, hey, try to put me in prison, I'm joining with the globalist, and I'm selling this country down the drain. Or he's retarded. Either way, it's what you're faced with, and it's the reality. God help us all. More massive news straight ahead on the other side, and I'll give you the secret of what the data centers are really all about straight ahead. Ladies and gentlemen, I get a little busy around here fighting the globalist. But I noticed a couple weeks ago on our product shelf here at the Alex Jones Network Studios, this huge bag, Superfood Greens Gummies. So I called Bigley and I said, well, what are these? Well, they're a private label of a top concentrated green gummy maker. And then I talked to them more and they said, yeah, we're selling for about half price what anybody else does. And we decided to make it the biggest bag and the most of these you get anywhere. So if you're a subscriber, you get it for 50. It's like 69 bucks if you're not. They sell this very same product for $50 a bottle that's half the size of this. That's the group we private label it from. It's sold in major stores. Now, this has every vitamin, every mineral. It's got a bunch of super enzymes, a bunch of high-tech probiotics. It's just crazy. We'll show you the label on the back of the blow-up. Now, obviously, I've already been eating out of this, but only a few of the packets. Take a look at this, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, so these are daily doses here. There's 30 of these, but this is a massive dose. This is 7 gummies in each one. So technically, you could really go, for me, 2 months on this, because this has more nutrients, more good stuff in it than a big old giant salad with all sorts of vegetables on it. All these are concentrated. Just look at that, ladies and gentlemen. So get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. It is amazing. They taste great. They're really strong, though. It's let it dissolve in your mouth for better absorption, and it funds their operation. They've also got the same gummies for kids that are tailored for them. So be sure and check this out at thealexjonesstore.com and realize this is a win-win situation for everybody. Because even if you're eating big salads and vegetables all day, a lot of it's caught up in the fiber of it, which is great for your guts, but you don't absorb it all. With these, it's concentrated. You get way higher levels of absorption, especially if you let it dissolve in your mouth. And then it funds our operation against the globalists as we dissolve their new world order. But be sure and check out the adult superfood green gummies and the ones for kids. But quite frankly, the ones for kids are great for adults. The ones for adults are great for kids. It's all interchangeable. And while you're on the site, check out all the other amazing items that are there, like the Shilajit. We have it in liquid. We have it in gummies. We have it in pills. The Irish Sea Moss, same thing. It's something like a regular serving of those. It's 30 grams of Irish Sea Moss, a giant bowl of it, but all concentrated. Not just the regular vitamins and minerals, but organic iodine that's so good for your body, and just a whole bunch of other amazing things. We don't sell anything that doesn't really work. And it funds our operation, a true 360 win. It's simple. I'm only going to sell you stuff that really, really works, so you want to get it again and again and again. So get your superfood green gummies for adults and children now at thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're there, be sure to become a VIP for $30 a month. You instantly get $40 to spend in the store, special deals, special offers, and extra sales on top of everything. If you're buying anything at thealexjonesstore.com, become a VIP and check out the widest selection of Patriot apparel, some of the very best designs, t-shirts, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, you name it, at thealexjonesstore.com. I want to thank all the viewers and listeners for being the reason we're on the air. It has been your amazing support that's allowed all the success against the globalists, but we have just begun to fight. We're launching the next level of the info war at alexjoneslive.com, so be sure and check out our news site as well, and follow me on X at Real Alex Jones. But whatever you do, go now to thealexjonesstore.com and get these gummies, because they're impressive, they're amazing, and they're good for you, and they fund an operation that's good for humanity in the face of the globalist death cult, Bill Gates, and the New World Order. Thank you so much. Now take action now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Now that's how you stick it to the globalists. Tastes like pure victory, baby! TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Front lines of the information war. It's Alex Jones.
What we are looking at is good and evil, right and wrong. A new world order. A new world order. A new world order. A new world order. We're not about to make that same mistake.
So we don't need Trump posting AI videos of him kicking down a Canadian sign, which is seen by Canadians as kicking them in the face, while he talks about how great Kim Jong-un is, and while he has the Al-Qaeda leader that runs Syria at the White House, and the Canadians are our enemies, and all that does is run them under the wings of Mark Carney, the globalist thoroughbred. You don't think Trump and his advisors are that stupid, do you? You know exactly what it's doing. So I don't want to be in the position of bashing Trump. I want him to succeed. But it's not happening. And there's no indictments of the Epstein class. There's ongoing cover-ups. And here I am. This is like 10 years ago on Joe Rogan explaining the AI takeover to him. And now this is where we are. Now, how did I know the AI takeover? Because I'm living it, because I'm studying it, because I read the globalist own writings. I've got my nose to the grindstone. I don't just say something and pull it out of my butt. When I say we're in grave danger of nuclear war, the most danger ever, that's all the military think tanks. But I don't just believe them. I do my own study and know they're right. I read these public reports, and it's like I'm finishing the sentences for them. Because I study it. You can do it, too. I know a lot of you are smarter than I am. But we have to have a pro-human approach to this. And these corporations and these globalists are satanic. I got a Ted Gunderson clip I want to get to after this, dealing with it. And we have to admit what we're facing. So let's go to this Joe Rogan report, and let's go to Ted Gunderson 20 years ago getting into the human sacrifice, the satanic elites, the global corporation that runs all this. Here it is.
There's armies. We're fighting a pedophile conspiracy, but beyond that, it's a vampire conspiracy in that they are interdimensionally sucking the essence of our youth.
Right.
And they believe they're possessed by an off-world entity.
They do?
Yeah, and then, Joe, I've been on air 22 years. I don't get into aliens, metaphysical, religion, any of that. I've studied the elite, and I've also communicated with a lot of the top people. And if you want to know, I will actually break down right now the best knowledge right now what's happening on the planet.
What's happening?
The elite are all about transcendence and living forever and the secrets of the universe, and they want to know all this. Some are good, some are bad, some are a mix. But the good ones don't ever want to organize. The bad ones didn't want to organize because they lust after power. Powerful consciousnesses don't want to dominate other people. They want to empower them, so they don't tend to get together until things are really late in the game. Then they come together. Evil's always defeated because good is so much stronger. And we're on this planet, and Einstein's physics showed it, Max Planck's physics showed it, all there's at least 12 dimensions. And now that's why all the top scientists and billionaires are coming out saying it's a false hologram. It is artificial. The computers are scanning it and finding tension points where it's artificially projected and gravity's bleeding in to this universe. That's what they call dark matter. So we're like a thought or a dream that's a wisp in some computer program, some God's mind, whatever. They're proving it all. It's all coming out. Now, there's like this sub-transmission zone below the third dimension that's just turned over to the most horrible things is what it resonates to. And it's trying to get up into the third dimension that's just a basic level consciousness to launch into the next levels. And our species is already way up at the fifth, sixth dimension, consciously our best people. But there's this big war trying to, like, basically destroy humanity because humanity has free will, and there's a decision to which level we want to go to. We have free will, so evil's allowed to come and contend, not just good. And the elites themselves believe they're racing, using human technology to try to take our best minds and build some type of breakaway civilization where they're going to merge with machines, transcend, and break away from the failed species that is man, which is kind of like a false transmission because they're thinking what they are is ugly and bad, projecting it onto themselves instead of believing, no, it's a human test about building us up. And so Google was set up 18, 19 years ago, I knew about this before it was declassified, I'm just saying I have good sources, that they wanted to build a giant artificial system. And Google believes that the first artificial intelligence will be a supercomputer based on the neuron activities of the hive mind of humanity with billions of people wired into it with the Internet of Things. And so all of our thoughts go into it, and we're actually building a computer that has real neurons in real time that's also psychically connected to us that are organic creatures so that they will have current prediction powers, future prediction powers, a true crystal ball,
But the big secret is, once you have a crystal ball and know the future, you can add stimuli beforehand and make decisions that control the future. And so then it's the end of consciousness and free will for individuals, as we know, and a true 2.0 in a very bad way, hive mind consciousness with an AI jacked into everyone, knowing our hopes and dreams, delivering it to us, not in some PKD wirehead system where we plug in and give up on consciousness because of unlimited pleasure, but because we were already wired in and absorbed before we knew it by giving over our consciousness to this system by our daily decisions that it was able to manipulate and control into a larger system. There's now a human counterstrike taking place to shut this off before it gets fully into place and to block these systems and to try to have an actual debate about where humanity goes and cut off the pedophiles and psychic vampires that are in control of this AI system before humanity's destroyed.
Of AI? How'd they get, how'd the pedophile... Was that
it? Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. It's incredible.
It's...
I didn't understand about it. That was 7 years
ago? 7 years ago.
Yeah, okay. So...
No, 7 years ago, no one was thinking AI was going to take over civilization.
So you can see why the FBI decided to destroy him, which it did. The people in – I mean, it's just like what has happened to Alex Jones is proof that at least some of what he's saying is true. Because why – who is Alex Jones a threat to?
Talk about what's going on with these satanic cults.
Well, many of these people are multi-generational, meaning they were born into it. And once they're born into it, they have secret meetings, of course. And they worship Satan. They have human sacrifices, and they even sacrifice their own sometimes. They have what they call breeders. These are women who are especially impregnated, so they can use the children or the fetus that are born for their human sacrifices. And based on my research, there's about 4 million plus practicing Satanists in America today. There's 50 to 60,000 human sacrifices per year in this country.
Okay, but people will tell you is where do these human beings come from? Because obviously, you know,
well,
they have to be accounted.
First of all, they've infiltrated law enforcement. They've infiltrated prosecutor's offices. They've infiltrated the judicial system. They've infiltrated across the board our basic elements. They've infiltrated virtually every level of our society. So what happens is, first of all, they have their secret meetings. They often have, oftentimes they're in underground. They have underground compartments in their home, chambers in their home, and it's all private. Nobody knows about it. And then they dispose of the bodies through different means. They're experts at covering up their tracks.
So now, when we hear about like thousands of missing children going missing in this country every year. Where do they go?
First of all, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, which is an adjunct of the U.S. Department of Justice. And if you go to their website, the last time I checked it, they said there are 91 Americans disappear every hour in this country. It is estimated 85-90% are children. If you project that figure, you're talking about several hundred thousand children a year disappear in America. And these children are being kidnapped off the streets, and I have documentation that an organization known as the Finders out of Washington, D.C., has, since the early 1960s, been actively involved in kidnapping children off the street, okay? Now, unfortunately, as a result of some of my research, I learned through a U.S. Customs Treasury Department report that the Finders is a CIA covert operation. One of my sources told me he's attended six auctions where kids were being auctioned off. He was one part of the network. And there were as few as six and as many as 36 children that were auctioned off. They were each auctioned off for up to $50,000 each. The children are ages 2 to 21, boys and girls. They put them up on a stage. They bid on the number. The kids come out. They put them in an airplane. Small field about 50 miles out of Las Vegas, Nevada, which is where some of the auctions have taken place. Put them on an airplane. Kids leave. They disappear. Then the kids are all doped up, of course. They put them in campers. The police stop them. They say, my kid's asleep. Leave them alone and all that sort of thing. And they use these kids for sex slaves. They use them for body parts. And they use them for their sacrifices.
And I've had members of the UK Parliament on with Ukraine shipping the dead kids out. They bring them and rape them for 2 or 3 months. Then they murder them and take their organs. And it's all in the Epstein files. Calling them sex slaves, talking about the cannibalism. This is who runs the system. This is the nightmare we're dealing with. This is what we're facing. And you bet they want nuclear war. You bet they want all of this. These are people that are controlled by the devil that are trying to maneuver us into total destruction. So remember 6 years ago, the whole Wayfair controversy that tied into Pizzagate, there's a major update on that. But, you know, I'm really going to go back into the 3.2 million Epstein files that came out. And we covered a lot at the time, but then we kind of moved on with the distractions they created. But we need to continue to expose that. So this week I'm going to be getting back into all of that on the weekday show, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central, ahead of the War Room live with Harrison Smith. But you have to understand what you're dealing with. This is pure wickedness. In fact, I have a clip of Denzel Washington saying recently on a podcast, we're facing, you know, spiritual warfare. That's what this is. And only God can get us out of this. But we first have to admit the devil's real. The devil's second biggest trick is he doesn't exist. His biggest trick is that good people don't exist to counter and respond to it. So here's an update from the Black Sheep 84. Don't forget about Wayfair trafficking. Here it is.
You guys remember that wild Wayfair conspiracy from back in 2020? The one where they were listing these ordinary-looking storage cabinets and pillows at insane prices, like $8,000, $9,000, even over $10,000. And get this, the product names matched those of missing girls, often the exact same cabinet, but with different girls' names and varying sky-high prices. The implication was dark. Human trafficking hidden in plain sight, right on a mainstream e-commerce site. Mainstream media, like the BBC, dismissed it as a false conspiracy theory. Wayfair clapped back, claiming they used algorithms to name products, that these were industrial-sized units for commercial use, and weird pricing glitches from a workaround where items defaulted to $9,999 until the real price kicked in. Yeah, sure. But hold on, because this rabbit hole just got deeper with the Epstein files dropping bombshells that make you question everything. Let's rewind to the specifics that fueled the fire. In 2019, a 17-year-old girl from Ohio named Samaya went missing. Days later, Wayfair lists a Samaya 5-shelf storage cabinet for nearly $13,000. Then in 2020, 16-year-old Yuritsa from Connecticut vanishes. Boom, Yuritsa storage cabinet hits the site for under $14,000. May 2020, 14-year-old Annabelle from Kansas City disappears. Same deal. Annabelle unit for just under $11,000. January 2020, 16-year-old Kyla Coleman from Cleveland goes missing. Yep, Kyla cabinet, discounted to $12,000. Everyone called it a hoax back then. But now? A receipt from Wayfair surfaces in the Epstein files, tying it straight to Jeffrey Epstein's twisted network. We all know Epstein's crew had a history with missing girls. Don't forget that creepy photo of JonBenet Ramsey with Ghislaine Maxwell lurking in the background. The receipt shows a purchase on June 28, 2018, for one unnamed item totaling $8,453, bought by Epstein's assistant and shipped to his longtime girlfriend, Karina Shuliak. But here's the kicker. 5 days earlier, on June 23rd, a girl named Joanna went missing from Columbus, Ohio, and she's still unaccounted for to this day. Back when the conspiracy was blowing up online, screenshots circulated of a high-priced Joanna cabinet from the same WFX utility company. For context, that same company is still peddling identical storage units on Wayfair today, but now they're dirt cheap at just $139. Massive price drop, huh? Coincidence? And it wasn't just Wayfair. Karina's name pops up in the files for Etsy buys, too. Remember, Etsy had its own shady listings around that time. Pillows at $9,999 with super suspicious naming conventions that screamed red flags. None of this outright proves trafficking, but come on. It makes you wonder. If this was really happening, who was orchestrating the sales to Epstein and his elite circle? Allegedly, where's Karina now? She was a dentist, which might explain those bizarre dental rooms in Epstein's properties. Just 2 days before his suicide, his estate transferred everything to her. The Zorro Ranch, the infamous island, hundreds of millions in assets. Does she know where all the bodies are buried? I mean that figuratively, of course. Or do I? At this point, it's not enough to just release these files and call it a day. Somebody at Wayfair needs to pull up that order number and spill what was really shipped. We need real investigations, subpoenas, and arrests. How will we know if justice is served when we see rich, powerful men in handcuffs perp walk to jail? Until then, this reeks of a massive cover-up.
Well, everybody loves to speculate on stuff like that, and obviously that's pretty bad. But what about the 500,000-plus kids smuggled in by Biden and Mayorkas? And we kept hearing we were going to see indictments and they were going to go to jail for it. And they found a bunch of the kids, 89,000 or whatever. Where's all that? Because they admitted, this came out in congressional hearings, that they would bring an envelope with the smugglers and the Border Patrol under Biden was ordered to take them, not look at it, and then with cell phones given by the government to the kids, they would call a number, they'd be put on a plane or a van would pull up and they'd disappear. And then whistleblowers inside DHS leaked a few thousand of the addresses and some of the investigators went out and it would be like a shack in the middle of nowhere where the kid was dropped off and nobody's there. Or they go to a house and knock on the door and like an 8-year-old opens and says, yes, I'm a sex slave, come on in. And it's like a brothel of children. I mean, this is just unbelievable. And it was all these investigators, James O'Keefe and Anthony Rubin and all of them, like fish in a barrel. They would just go out in Austin and New York and San Antonio and L.A. and just immediately, oh, I'm 12. I'm a sex slave. Yeah, I was kidnapped in Guatemala 4 years ago. Yeah, please help me. And nothing happens. And that's all on Trump and that's all on Todd Blanche. That's all on the DHS. So we all heard about all the stuff in the Catholic Church raping kids, and that's terrible to be exposed, but this is all out. At least the Catholic Church paid giant fines, and some people went to jail. More should happen. But with this, it's crickets. And then you have the millions of emails that are already public. Imagine the second half they say they're suppressing. Imagine what's in that. I mean, look at this one. Emails with World Health Organization officials and Bill Gates and Epstein saying, okay, we're gearing up the pandemic. Get ready. We're going to launch it. And everything they did for control, it's all right here. You want to pull those up? Emerald Robinson posted it. The Skiff posted it. One of the most important Epstein documents exposed was an email conversation from 2015, subject preparing for pandemics, between Jeffrey Epstein, Walter Kemp Group, discussing the next steps to involve the WHO and the ICRC. And it's all right there. And there's also Bill Gates is in these emails. How do we get rid of the poor people? I mean, he says it publicly too. And Bill Gates now is warning of an imminent AI-controlled bioterror attack. You're like, well, why don't people stand up and fight this? Well, I stand up and fight it, and some of you support us and spread the word. I appreciate it. But do you realize how serious this is? You know, Larry McDonald was a big Democrat congressman, but he was more conservative than anybody we've got now. And when he got on his plane in Anchorage, Alaska, all these other congresspeople that were going on this delegation to South Korea got off. He took off, and then the Russians shot it down. That's the kind of stuff we've been through and what we've sacrificed to get to this point. Here's a report on Larry McDonald.
A tremendous campaign was launched in December of 1960 to move to discredit the John Birch Society and, frankly, launched initially orders coming out of Moscow.
Well, Mr. McDonald, I'm not a conspirator. I think even Buchanan would vouch for that. I don't think so. Yeah, I'm a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Yeah, is that a conspiracy?
Here's
exposing the cabal months before they kill him.
The John Birch Society considers only one arm of a master conspiracy in which socialist American insiders are plotting to establish world government. Now, it also says, and here's Director John McManus, that's your public relations director, saying that former Secretary of State Alexander Haig and CIA Director William Casey are two of these master conspirators who are plotting to establish world government. Now, what do you say? You know, that kind of silly, asinine statement is what makes makes people laugh. That's the John Birch to say.
Well, Tom, I'm sure being a long-standing member of the Rockefeller apparatus, and as a member of the Council on Foreign Relations of long-standing, you're fully aware that there is an elitist core in this country that has seen value in subsidizing communism, of protecting communism.
It has?
Sure.
You're accusing me of subsidizing communism?
No, I'm saying
because
that
I happen to belong to a
There is an elite core. No, wait a minute. There is an elite core in this country that has dominated American society.
Well, I'm not one of them.
The Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations.
State Department, I suppose.
Well, let's face it. They've dominated the State Department for 40 years, and pretty much openly.
All right, but what are they trying to do?
Well, their objective is to try to bring about a gradual transition in our society, a dissolving of sovereignty, and a moving steadily to the left on the political spectrum.
Well, who are they?
The elitist groups that I mentioned, particularly key individuals and policymakers in the Council on Foreign Relations.
Is the International Monetary Fund part of this?
Well, I would say the International Monetary Fund has certainly been set up for the purpose of facilitating that transfer of sovereignty and transfer of wealth on the road.
Right, we elected Mr. Conservative.
Let me just finish the point, because otherwise we're going to have a lot of unanswered questions, that you are looking at a group that has worked to bring about the dissolution of national sovereignties on the road to world government. And certainly you're familiar with local professor Carol Quigley, who has been part of your club, in which he admitted all this. And he said in his book, Tragedy and Hope, the only thing I disagree is that we've worked to keep it a secret. And you see Arthur Schlesinger Jr. writing way back in 1947, says, yes, this is the hidden policy of America. But we can't tell the American public because they're too unsophisticated to see the value.
What is the instrumentality of world government? What is the instrumentality?
Of all the things you say about Arthur, that's the silliest statement I ever heard. He never made anything like that.
Well, let me suggest that you read the May-June issue of the Partisan Review of 1947, Tom, and you can read it for yourself. It's called
Arthur Schlesinger said there was a conspiracy. Oh. A conspiracy to promote communism?
Oh, no, he didn't use the word conspiracy. He said the objective was to bring about... Well, let me finish.
Let's stop there. We're about to end the main transmission, and then special guest is taking over, Royce White. But David Rockefeller, like 20 years ago, wrote his memoir and admitted his conspiracy for world government. So that's where we are, ladies and gentlemen. That's where we are. We'll continue to fight and tell the truth till the bitter end. We can't do it without you. Please spread the word, share the articles, share the videos at AlexJonesLive.com. Please support the crew and what we're doing here. And please get great products at thealexjonesstore.com. Tonight's the last night for the end of summer super sale. 50% off Methylene Blue, a bunch of other products. Every order gets a free bottle of Shilajit gummies. It's already a bestseller. We want you to get it. Those on the fence and try it because we think you'll be addicted. The stamina, the libido, the energy is just absolutely amazing. Get that right now. Free bottle of that, a $40 value with every order at thealexjonesstore.com. All right. Royce White is set to take over. Lord willing, I'll be back tomorrow. 11 a.m. Central for the weekday show. And we'll be here covering all of this here together and doing the best job we can. But I can't take these people on without your support. So please pray for us. Please spread the word. Please support us at thealexjonesstore.com. All right. We're going to go to break for 2 minutes. You can find the feeds at rumble.com/Alex Jones Show Live, Real Alex Jones on X, and AlexJonesLive.com, the news site. With Royce White, loaded for bear, straight ahead. I'm Alex Jones. Stay with us. Massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra Methylene Blue. Blue.
I know. I love it. This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. 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 I mean, this is just bonker town.
I know. I love it.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. 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 I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.